Linda Mussman. Welcome, Linda.
Hello, glad to be here.
We're going to talk a little bit about the recent proposal to include Robinson Street in Hudson in a historic district. I understand, Linda, you are not totally sold on this idea.
No, I don't think it's a good idea. There was a lot of people that turned out for the public hearing, and I think generally the opinion was on my side that it wasn't a good idea at this time to include Robinson Street and the surrounding. There's some locations near there that's included as well, some on North 3rd, I think the church, the school, et cetera.
And what are the main objections?
Well, I think the reality is that this is a working-class community, and the difficulty that historic preservation places on things that you'd like to upgrade would create a difficulty for many of the residents that live on Robinson Street who struggle to basically pay their taxes. Many live on fixed incomes. I think if the preservation, historic preservation committee wanted to engage in this idea, they should have at least approached the citizens prior to submitting this application and explain exactly what does it mean, what are the ideas behind, why would you want to do this to this community. I think a lot of the reasons that were put forth by Carol Ostrink were rather flimsy in the sense that lots of Hudson looks like Robinson Street. So I think being selective and narrow in their view, I'm not convinced that it was a rational reason to say, well, we're going to do this area, when in reality you could look at all of State Street, Columbia Street, and pretty much say it looks a lot like Robinson.
There is a certain kind of uniformity to the architecture in Robinson Street, though, isn't there? I mean,
There's similarity in houses, but many of the houses on State Street look similar. I think that's picayune in this sense.
they're describing Robinson Street as an intact or a nearly intact working class neighborhood.
Well, I think the entire city of Hudson's a nearly intact working class neighborhood. That's why I like Hudson. nearly intact. There's some issues. There's some spots that aren't as intact, or lost buildings or burned buildings, or if you go down Rope Alley, which is behind Robinson Street, I think you'd really see a big view of what Robinson Street is like. Many of the garages struggled to be repaired. There was a big fire on Robinson Street that took away many of the buildings, and there's been some restoration, and perhaps some of those buildings aren't everyone's cup of tea. I feel the same way about Bliss Towers. It's a 70s project. It's equally as important to the landscape of Hudson, and I think it should stay. And things like that, I think, are long and heated discussions here in our little city. And how it's all weighs, and who makes these decisions, and how it's all discussed, and in the parlors of City Hall, are difficult areas. Not everybody treads in those places. So I think it would be a good idea to reach out into the community and really talk about these things.
How strictly do they enforce these codes?
Well, I've been to several preservation I never remember the exact name of this committee.
Historic Preservation Commission, I think it's called.
Yeah, the commission. I've been to several of these meetings, and some of them admittedly are like watching paint dry, and they are many long debates about is the door correct? Is the window the right window? Is the cornice correct? Is issues which are historic preservation issues being applied to people? I've watched some of the Eric Galloway projects go under extreme scrutiny, which have cost those projects additional amounts of money. And there's no way around it. It is about, you're going to spend more money. Projects that are under historic regulations are going to be under the scrutiny of many, many people making decisions about whether this is appropriate or not appropriate. And the laws are interpreted by a group of people.
Now, if there is some kind of government money or loan guarantees or something like that to help people cover the extra expense, does that have any weight as far as you're concerned?
Well, I haven't seen that really acted out. I think there's a hardship clause. Are there funds? Perhaps the state of New York does provide some funds, but I haven't really seen a lot of those monies.
There are some tax breaks or something like that. I think that Alan Thurston was saying the other day that there's some attempt to get something like that set up.
Well, attempt and the reality of right now is a big difference in terms of a project, whether you can have a project move forward or not. I mean, the color of mortar is a reality in historic preservation.
Would you be in favor of this proposal if there was a system that where you were comfortable with that was actually could happen, that people could get funding for improvements like that?
You know, I think Hudson needs some other things right now. Historic preservation is a good idea, I think, if you have a community that has the wealth to support it. I don't think Hudson does. I think it's a long road to trying just to help people stabilize and maintain their homes. I think it's a very difficult in a community that has very little ability to earn money. Many people here are on fixed incomes. We've lost a lot of the industry that has been historically a part of our community. There are, I don't see Hudson rushing to help people find jobs. Many of my neighbors don't have jobs. They've lost them. Many of my neighbors are Bangladesh, or they're elderly, or they have some handicap issues, and leaves them hard-pressed to add additional funds to their home. And also the taxes in Hudson raise every day. We're voting on a school budget today, which is almost a 10% increase. I don't know how people are going to pay those bills and go to meetings and attend all these meetings with plans for their front door or their windows and how would they like to change them, because many of the people that show up at these commissions are architects or lawyers, and I don't see the climate on Robinson Street or State Street, where I happen to live, have the capacity to provide all that support for applications that might have to go before these boards. So I think it creates an additional strain on an already overstrained community. So I don't think we're ready.
It's a real haves versus haves not issue. You mentioned Eric Galloway. He's developers like such as him actually would financially win out of this historic designation in the long run. The money they put into the houses, they're going to get more back if it's under the historic preservation. And that's the argument that has long gone on, that a lot of people have moved to Hudson, particularly because the architecture is so striking and unique. So there have been benefits, or do you think it's not this is something that shouldn't happen anywhere in the city of Hudson?
Well, first of all, I moved to the city of Hudson because I like the diversity, I like the people. The buildings are an addition to why I like Hudson. I think the library is a case in point of a struggle with an historic building, which is proving to be prohibitive and not affordable. And in reality, it's a library, and the issue is about a place to learn, have access information. The historic is it's like the candy or the icing on the cake. If you can afford it, fantastic. In reality, we need a good library. In reality, we need a safe, clean place to live. If it's historic and we can afford it, that's a greater idea. In terms of people like Eric Galloway, he can afford, well, I can't speak for him, but it appears that he can afford some of the historic wranglings around the property he would like to build. There's long dialogues about Hardy Board, long dialogues about would the garage door be better on the alley or better on the front? And the debates rage. And the lawyer who sits there is being paid to sit there, and the architect. I think if you want to see Hudson continue to be diverse and rowdy and fun and funky and edgy, then you should be careful about how restrictive you make this community.
Because that's also some of the reasons people come to Hudson.
That's why I'm here. I'm part of the rowdy, edgy, unexpected, unexplained, and you never know exactly, you know, the point of view. You know, it's an unexpected, and in like how many communities have a train that run through the park, for example, or how many communities have a radio station that's on the second floor with a handicap access. You know, there's a courthouse that most handicapped people can't go to the bathroom over there, and the county has dragged its feet forever to even go and, you know, meet the codes and regulations that the state has put forward, on top of the historic, hoops that it's going to have to jump through. Millions and millions of dollars will be spent on the courthouse. Well, that is probably a very, very important idea to keep the courthouse intact and expand it in the appropriate way. The county happens to have money right now. I think the regulations issues is part of what the Tea Party debate is about. And, I mean, these are very exciting times. And how do we want to regulate ourselves? Do we want to wear a seatbelt? Do we want to wear a helmet? Do we want to worry about the mortar on our wall, on our buildings? You know, for me, I'm struggle to keep the building together. Mortar color is not the first thing I think about when I think about TSL. I would love to have historic, perfect ideas that are attached to our building. But what's more important to me is the programs, is the things that happen at TSL, is the youth programs, things like that. Which I think the balance is really the key. And I think sometimes the people who imagine these rules and regulations around historic preservation are imagining another Hudson that I'm not sure I see. Maybe they see it, but I don't see it. I think Warren Street is on the national or the historic register, and certain buildings, the library, the courthouse, et cetera, and I think people can afford those things, with the exception of the library.
We had Quentin Cross in here, and he was saying that the people that now live on Robinson Street used to live on Warren Street, and same process drove them out of there years ago, and they're kind of seeing deja vu all over again.
Look, it's a gentry issue. There's no way around it. Gentrification, you know, it happens every day. It happens all around us. And if you want to have an affordable Hudson and a Hudson that is exciting and actually speaks of the diversity that I hear repeatedly, you can't price everyone out of Hudson, and you will with these historic preservation issues. No, I listened to some of your program, whenever it was, yesterday or the day before, and I didn't really hear the reality of what it costs to pay for these things. I mean, the reality is it's going to cost more if you go the historic preservation route, and will drive people out of Hudson who simply can't afford it, and that means people that are on limited incomes or who struggle to get a job, who, you know, struggle to keep their houses together, and...
And you're saying basically that even upkeep is going to drive people out of their houses if they have to meet these codes. The people make the argument that, well, the people who already live there have a house, and basically they're going to benefit because the property will be worth more if it's in a historic district.
I'm not convinced that argument really works, because it's many people struggle to pay their taxes. I think the city of Hudson's about to release how many houses will be going on the market on the chopping block for non-payment of taxes. I think that's a growing problem. My neighborhood struggles. There's a lot of people that just simply can't even paint their houses, can't repair their steps, can't do the basic things to keep it going.
Also, with the way that the property market is going, they're going to have to live a long time before they see any return on anything they spend now.
That's right. I think Hudson, you know, has somehow remarkably survived a lot of the hype and the ups and downs in the markets. Hudson has remained moderately stable, and you didn't see a lot of foreclosures, you know, when it hit. I think Hudson, you know, is doing bizarrely pretty well, considering it holds its own. I think some people who speculated or they got bad mortgages are going to have trouble keeping that together. I mean, the business district does well. There's a lot of new energy here in Hudson, and I think it is because there's a tremendous amount of hope here, and there's an inclusion here, where in reality, most of my neighbors ask me, do I know where they can find a job? And much of the economic development in the city of Hudson doesn't ever bring that up. We're worrying about moving out to Walmart and spending a fortune, and taking many of the services away from our community, such as Department of Social Services, probation, mental health. Moving it out to the Greenport is not my idea of maintaining a vital center where you have services for people. Shipping people by bus all over, adding additional sprawl, just creates more and more expense, and it divides and distributes the community all over. And it's the same thing with, you know, this asking people to go to meetings with a plan, to ask a commission, may I change my door, may I put in a new window so I can save on my heat, but it's a vinyl window, well, that won't work because it's not appropriate. But if a replacement window that could save heat in this climate of economic climate that we're in would make a big difference to many people. And I think this is where the people perhaps who aren't in that situation or understand that situation aren't really sympathetic to the reality of hard times.
We're running a little over into the news. We just want to say you're listening to WGXC 90.7 FM Accra. We can keep you on a little.
Okay. Is there anything else you'd like to bring
like
up?
Like to talk about? Well, let me see. Well, I think I think the reality is people should, if they really are interested in talking about preservation, they should engage in conversations before they submit proposals. Make people very worried, very upset. Many of my neighbors were at the point of tears. They were very frustrated. They just couldn't believe this had happened, and they're sitting in the council room, and they don't know what's going on. And they're fearful. And they're fearful about their losing their home. In reality, it's about my home and how I am to proceed. And this is my community. In many ways, many of these people have lived their entire life. And all of a sudden, a group of people arrive with a plan to ask them to fill out papers, to attend meetings, to perhaps create drawings, to go in a common council, the city hall, to create themselves in a stressful situation.
So perhaps part of the problem is the way it was done, that perhaps it could have been, they could have had a community forum or gone door to door and talked to people about the issue before it was brought.
I think that would have been a help. And then I think they would have gotten the temperature and the idea that maybe this isn't a good time to do. This idea isn't going to fly. It's just not a practical idea. And maybe at this point, it's about helping people have more education and getting them more interested in seeing the value of this beautiful neighborhood. You know, mine's equally as beautiful. It has equal problems.
Now, one point just to give the other side their due. One point that they make is that many times existing windows and doors can be resuscitated.
Mm-hmm.
And so that, you know, there isn't necessarily a big expense. And that, in fact, a vinyl window may be less energy efficient than simply caulking up the old windows that were always there.
Well, I'm not convinced that's the truth. I have a lot of those old cranky windows. They leak. They are not insulated. The R factor is not what it is with a new window, which is on the market, and this is not a vinyl window. This is a wood window. I think many of the windows, particularly in my house, they're big. They're expensive. And they not only cost money to purchase, but you then have to put them in. And they are historically correct, but they're very expensive. I think sometimes you have to make do. I think you have to sometimes maybe not have the appropriate thing to be the, you know, you sometimes you need to be able to afford something, and the affordable is an opportunity to save some money on your heat bill. Many of the old windows in my house are very drafty and breezy, and I waste a lot of money because I don't have the best windows, and that's one of my projects. TSL has a lot of great windows, and to replace them, when I looked 20 years ago, they were around 10 grand a piece. It's unaffordable, and there's, I think, 30-some windows in there. They're old steel glazed windows. There's absolutely no way you can make those efficient. So the only opportunity for some of these things is to replace them. And replacing this, you have to have a big checkbook. There's no way around it. So thanks for inviting me in.
Can you tell us what's going on at TSL this week while we have you here?
Oh, at TSL, one of the great operas, Das Die Walküre, Wagner. Starts at noon and it ends at 5:30. It is fantastic, a brand new set. It's called The Machine. It's caused quite a stir. It's LaPage is the new director, Debbie Void, a lot of great young singers. We have some new films, Sons of Perdition, and con artist, Kastabi, the con artist.
Oh, how nice.
Yeah. Want to talk about historic preservation? Mr. Kastabi is definitely about historic preservation. He has many, many people working in a factory painting his paintings, right? Uh-huh. And then he signs them with his historic signature. It sells them for millions, right? Lots of things. Thanks for asking.
Thank you for coming, Linda.
Okay. Take care.